What's going on, everybody? Full Press Hockey Weekly here. Your host, Jim Berenger, Chris Russell, NWO, Ian Gunn behind the scenes. Get it at Full Press NHL on Twitter, fullpresshockey.com, Full Press Hockey on Facebook, Full Press Hockey, YouTube, Full Press coverage on YouTube, Facebook, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcast. Twice as nice. Pre-recorded last night. Saw you guys, watched it. Thank you for the love. Chris and I are back again. It's All-Star Weekend. But before we get into that, we had a big trade to announce yesterday because it seems like the Vancouver Canucks just want to trade players before the All-Star game. Chris, how we doing?
I'm doing good. Hey, I always like those January 32nd trade. I'm sorry, January 31st trades. Every day.
Yep.
Every day, all day, twice on Sunday.
Every day's a holiday, baby. Yep.
That was a baby.
It's crazy, right? Vancouver Canucks last year traded Bo Horvat to the Islanders for Anthony Beauvillier. So he has to change uniforms. Yesterday, on Wednesday, they acquired Elias Lindholm from the Calgary Flames, who was the Flames representative at the All-Star game. And now Lindholm will have a Vancouver Canucks patch on his shoulder at the All-Star game. Before we get into the All-Star game, it was a great trade by both teams, I think. Because here's why. You look at it, right? You say to yourself, okay, well, Craig Conroy's coming into this trade deadline. He basically said last offseason, he's like, we're not going through the Johnny Gaudreau situation anymore. If guys are in their last year of their contracts, they're going to be UFAs. We're going to trade them. We're going to get as much for them. Well, they already moved Zadorov out. Nikita Zadorov. Now they move Elias Lindholm out. And the package is a pretty nice package.
Yeah, I mean, for folks that don't know, you get one at least, I would argue, A-plus level prospect. You get a guy that potentially could be a 4 or 5 in the NHL. You get Kuzmenko. Obviously, there's some work that needs to be done with him. I mean, everybody knows that he is slower than cinder blocks on skates. But there is no denying that the guy has a shot and a half.
I agree.
I've seen this before somewhere. Calgary has a player like him that the Devils once had.
They had the Devils. There's two former Devils on that team. Are we talking about Igor Sharangovich or are we talking about Blake Coleman?
Of course, we're talking about Papa Sharango. No.
Yeah, Papa Sharango.
I did not have the little castanet thing like the James Bond movie often when he scored. No, never. But let's face it, Igor, we loved him, but he was not the most fleet of foot.
No,
he's gotten better, though. He has gotten.
He has.
People, so for people that say, okay, well, Kuzmenko is just this hopeless product that, you know, has this great shot, but can't, like, put 2 feet in front of the other. That's not necessarily true. I mean, look, Blake Coleman wasn't the world's fastest skater either. And that took years, but he was, you know, he looks pretty fast in Calgary.
And what a player on the Devils. That's
very effective with Calgary.
And he looked pretty good in Tampa, but he was playing that role. Like, he was really playing that good role down in Tampa, that third line. But he leads the team in points with 40. Sharangovich has got 35 points in Calgary. Things just didn't work with Kuzmenko and Tocchet. As much as they tried, as much as they were going to play the waiting game,
it just didn't work.
It was hard to give up on a guy who was making $5.5 million at the beginning of the season. Is he a 39 goal scorer? Probably not. He's not just an 8 goal scorer either. Like, he's probably in that 15 to 20 range, which is good because that means he joined Sharangovich and Coleman, because Coleman and Sharangovich each have 20 goals this season.
Not so bad.
For me, first from the Canucks side of things, this signals to me this team's going all in, because you don't get a player like Elias Lindholm 5-6 weeks out of the trade deadline, 30-something games left, not think you're going to win Stanley Cup. You're doing it because he adds depth and he adds versatility, because Lindholm can not only play center, but he can play the wing, like Elias Pettersson, like JT Miller, like Brock Besser. So you have four guys that can do pretty much the same thing, and you can put them anywhere.
Not only that, Lindholm, last I checked, pretty good on special teams.
Yes.
Vancouver, pretty elite special teams unit. Going to need that, especially against the Edmontons of the world and the Colorados that, you know, now have to sit there and go, well, all right, they made the move.
So what do we do?
The plot thickens.
It does thicken, but not only that, but Lindholm, great two-way shutdown center, which you need in the playoffs. And I was watching, you know, when I watched some of his games, you watch Calgary play and you say to yourself, man, Lindholm can shut down like Colorado's top guys. He can shut down Vancouver's top. Like, that's a good fit. His point production isn't as high as it was when Goudreau and Tkachuk and those guys were there, but he's still a very effective player. Cheap cap hit. Same with Zadorov. So he's going to roll fine. I think, you know, you get the depth. You can never have too much depth, as Patrick Alvin said. And it's funny, Patrick Alvin gets a new contract extension. So does Jim Rutherford. And Jim Rutherford kind of teases it yesterday on radio.
Yeah, he said something was going to happen. Something big.
Right. Can't get into specifics, but we may not wait until after the All-Star break.
And to be fair, at the amusing time of the trade, there were two players mid-flight, which was kind of fun.
Yeah, there were. It was kind of fun.
I always like to hear these stories. I know it seems, I guess, trivial in the grand scheme of things, but it's always fun to hear like, well, how did player X approve? Hold on. He used his
cellular phone. Exactly.
He had the airplane Wi-Fi, as they like to call it.
Yes, exactly. Look, Kuzmenko had to waive his no-trade clause. He earned it. He earned that two-year contract that he got similarly around this time last year. And you know what? Calgary was on that list, but Calgary liked that player. Craig Conroy was speaking with the media. He said, look, we got a lot of teams coming after us. Patrick Alvin, they spoke. They said things were heating up. Went back to the other teams. Vancouver just made the best offer. They just had the best offer because I don't think Boston, Colorado, Rangers for sure were not giving up the assets that Vancouver got. And plus, it's a familiar trade partner. And they get an NHL player that fits into Ryan Huska's system and I think needed a change of scenery.
Yeah, it doesn't hurt. They get the first. They get an extra conditional pick. They get a couple prospects along the way. You know, again, we touched on it last night, and we also touched on it with Russ. You know, obviously the two prospects are unsigned after this year, but that's not as big of a deal as people want to make it out to be.
No, it's not that big of a deal.
Prospects can easily be re-signed. I mean, this isn't like something, you know, this isn't an Adam Fox situation.
No, it's not like Adam Fox.
It's not a collegiate situation where you're sitting there and you know the guy's just ducking out in college so he can just run his eligibility out. This is much different. As one of the guys, I think on Full Press this morning, aptly put it, we're just going to call him Alphabet.
Alphabet.
Nobody can pronounce this poor kid's name.
No, because he says it like 50 million different ways, and I'm not even going to try to say it.
Yes, yes. That is the one thing that people will realize sometimes. Players will even pronounce it their own. When you get that many consonants and vowels together, you will get a few different pronunciations along the way.
I'll wait for it to come up in the pronunciation media book.
Exactly. The bottom
line. And then it'll change again.
Yes, of course. The bottom line is the kid can play.
Exactly. He can play. He's the defenseman. I know who you're talking about. He's a high-level defenseman. Very good. He's going to fit Calgary's system really well because we expect Craig Conroy to still be busy with Chris Tanev, who the Canucks were trying to get last night, but they just couldn't work it out in that deal.
I got to think Tanev goes east.
I think Tanev goes east. Maybe the Canucks circle back and say, all right, maybe let's figure it out. Maybe not part of that package, but let's see what else we can get out of it.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's going to be one of those things where it's like one or two teams out east are going to make a good offer. And inevitably, like it does with that type of player in particular, it'll get quiet.
And then it'll
all be in the dark and boom.
It'll go like that. Look, and I think Noah Hanifin's another guy you got to watch out in Calgary, because it the signal of Elias Lindholm being traded before the All-Star break, before the deadline, tells me the Flames, even though they're 6 points out, even though Craig Conroy thinks this team, you know, with the goaltending, with the players they have now, either they want to retool on the fly similar to what Winnipeg did and hope they have the same success and try to change that culture up, or they're trying to rebuild on the fly. And to me, it signals that I think they're open for business, and I think Hanifin and Tanev are the guys that have to go.
Yeah, makes the most sense. They have to, again, they now have defensemen in the system. You bring them up. You're looking to get younger. It makes a lot of sense. What can Conroy get for them? Well, we have an idea of what he can get for Tanev. He can get a pretty penny for Tanev. There's no question about this. Makes it a lot of fun if you're a Calgary fan right now. Even though, yes, this season, again, is not turning out the ways a few had expected, but most people did generally think that this could happen.
Yeah, I mean, look, and there's a lot of issues with Calgary. I mean, look, Jonathan Huberdeau is not the player that he once was. Well documented that he benefited from not playing with Alexander Barkov. I still sustain that he's not a 100-point player, that I think he's in that 50 to 75 point range, maybe a little higher. But you got to get him the players to play with. But again, you got to want to play too. You know, what does this mean? Like Jacob Markstrom, again, his name continues to come up, right? The Flames are like, well, he's got all the control. Craig Conroy hasn't gone to him yet. Everybody assumes that New Jersey's going to want him. Yeah, they should look at him. But does he want to go to the Devils? And to the other point, it's like, well, you can get Tanev and Markstrom. Okay, how much is Calgary eating on Tanev's contract, on Markstrom's contract? Because you know Dougie Hamilton's coming back next year. And you still have free agents to sign.
Yeah, there's a realistic thing to this where this some things, even like a Markstrom could get dangled into the offseason.
I think that's a move that does get dangled into the offseason of Calgary. And then, you know, Uyghur and Nazem Kadri. I mean, Kadri just signed long-term there. It would take a lot of convincing for him to leave. And I think that's more of an offseason move because, again, it's the direction. It was the same. This is the same feel that the Winnipeg Jets had last year, where it's like, okay, well, Hellebuck, okay, you know, Shifley. If those guys go, what happens with Kyle Connor, Niederreiter? The list goes on. And I think once they found the stability, once they showed that there was a commitment, those guys stayed. That made other guys stay. Kind of got the crap out of the locker room. And there was a newfound commitment to playing. And I think maybe something like that has to happen in Calgary too.
It can't hurt at this point. Given what happened, especially last year and the year before, this can only help.
I think so. I think it will. I think from a perspective, you see the Calgary Flames. Yes, they're sitting where they are. But I think you have so many teams to jump over, it just makes the most sense to start selling off your assets because you need to. Brandon, yep. What's going on, buddy?
Hey.
So we're going to keep an eye on the Calgary Flames. I expect them to still be active heading after the All-Star break. I think Canucks, will add another piece or two, maybe, depending on how they feel, what they need. Again, you can never have too much depth, i.e. the Buffalo Sabres in 2006 and 2007 in the conference final.
Yeah, you never know when the dreaded staff infection will come.
The injury ninja does show up. He always rears his ugly head.
He doesn't take days off.
No, he does not. And we're here at the All-Star break, and it's up in Toronto. And, you know, want to have some fun tonight, right? And look, if you watch the draft, let us know what you think. We have our own opinions of it. You know, look, it's the draft. It's the All-Star game. They are what they are. You know, hopefully you can make it fun. Hopefully you can do some things the right way. look, the Devils did right by everybody, which everybody figured was going to happen, that Jack Hughes was not playing in anything, and he's just going to be a captain. And Jesper Bratt's there, all well and good. Oh, gee, no surprise, all the Leafs are playing together in Toronto. You didn't see that one coming a mile away.
Gee, you think?
Gee, you think? Oh, the Canuck players are playing together, too. Oh, gee, you think the Avs players are playing together, too?
So do we, like, just, like, make one big mega team and go with it?
I mean, I would make a team.
So here you go. Now, Braden brings this up. And darn it, because I've heard this once or twice. It's a way out there one. But there is a little bit of a linkage between Tom Wilson and a couple teams out west even.
Yeah, I mean, look, I mean, Tom Wilson would be good on the Avalanche to help them with the depth. I mean, they still need a center. And let's be honest.
They're forever going to need a center.
And the price of the center went up because of the Lindholm deal. I mean, Kent Hughes, yep. Pat Verbeek be like, yo, best offers, table now. Like, Monahan and Henrique are not going for anything less than a first-round pick.
Yeah. And if it's a second at all, it has a condition with a first.
Right. And it probably carries a player with it, too.
Especially
Monahan, because as we've talked about, he's under $2 million, and that mm-hmm. really helps these cap strap teams.
No, it does. I mean, if you look right now, all right, so realistically, Washington 51 points and plummeting.
Yeah, oh, big time plummet.
Obviously, they're not the only team.
No.
You know, Philly's plummeting, Islanders plummeting.
Yep.
The whole Metro Division feels like it's kind of plummeting. Aside from Carolina.
Yep.
And, oh, by the way, Carolina can't win on the road. So no,
but they can still win at home.
They can still win at home.
No surprise there.
And that's probably, and here you go. That's probably going to be enough to win the division, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh yeah, but it will. It'll hurt. It'll backfire in the playoffs again.
the song remains the same.
Yes, it does.
It's kind of crazy though, because if you look at the West, aside from the obvious elephant in the room, I mean, E for Edmonton. Look at how, you know, Winnipeg suddenly lost three straight before the break.
Well, LA was in that nosedive before they won.
LA finally won one. They had lost, what, 6 of 7?
Yep.
By the way, LA is the only team right now, I believe, if I read this right, 55 points or above, that is under 500 at home.
That's crazy. They've never been good at home.
But this is like mid-2010 Rangers, bad at home.
This is bad at home. Like this is like circling Devils bad at home too.
Stage of DeBoer, tough building at home.
Yeah, it still really hasn't been changed too much either.
No,
hasn't changed much.
I mean, if you look, this was a team that at one point was 3-4 over 500 at home.
Yeah.
And now this is funny. Their goal differential on the road is plus 31.
Damn, yo.
Goal differential at home, minus 11. How?
Right, exactly. How
is this possible? I know Jonathan Davis out there and a lot of the West Coast guys. You know, not just the fact that Jonathan does, but, you know, betting and such. But obviously does a lot with, Ryan Baton and the guys from, you know, Sirius XM.
Yep.
And one of the first things that he had said to me, and quite a few of the other LA guys have just reiterated ad nauseum. Devils fans think they have a Lindy Ruff problem. Try Todd McClellan on in LA.
Whether that's just fans,
it doesn't seem like it's just fan speak to us. It does seem like it's gotten to be a real problem. When Drew Doughty speaks out the way he did a few weeks ago. And according to some in the, you know, media world, this has been going on for a while now.
It'll be, I mean, look, you had Tave say it in Colorado. You've had Drouty say it in L.A. We've documented Heisher in New Jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, look, is it a Tom McCullum problem? Maybe it is. But also, that roster, for some reason, looks like old and slow. And it doesn't help that Pierre-Luc Dubois does not produce.
Well, look, and I'll say this, and I've heard this more than a few times on Kings broadcasts. There's nobody there to convert.
No.
I mean, he's had he leads their team in prime scoring chance passes from the slot.
Yep.
By far and away.
Yep.
And these chances aren't being converted. So,
nope.
Yeah, you can get on him for other things. I don't doubt that.
No.
But he is setting up opportunities. They're unlike early in the season where this team was scoring at 3.8, 3.9 goals a game.
Yeah.
That is a long, long way away now.
It is.
You know, you do the quick math now. Shoot, Jim. I mean, you're talking, let's see, 144, 152, so 8 and 18. They are averaging 3.16 goals a game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Not good.
That's not good.
They gotta flip the goal. They gotta flip the goals per game and the goals against around. And they'll be fine.
Yeah, the goals against is up to about, I would say, in the last 10, I think it's gotta be at least 3-1 or 3-2.
Right, against. So if you flip that, you put one, minus one on the goals against, plus 1.5 on the goals for. Now they're playing a little bit better. Look, Edmonton's playing D right now. You know, like New Jersey and LA kind of mirror images. Both have coaches that are kind of on the hot seat. Both teams have dealing with a lot of injuries. Both teams can't get a save, lack of offense. So it's kind of a mirror image both teams are dealing with as these standings are so tight and, you know, at the All-Star break, the way that the NHL loves it. And, you know, up to Toronto, and you know, everybody remembers the 50th when it was East versus North America versus the world. You had East versus West back in the day. You know, this, you're never going to fix the All-Star game problem. You're not. Like, it's like you're just not because it's run its course. Like, it's just run its course. But like, everybody wants to complain about it. But then everybody's going to be sure. Everybody's going to want it when it's not there.
I've heard this before somewhere.
Right? Like, because the next 2 years is not going to be around. Like, it won't exist. There will be no All-Star game.
No All-Star game.
There'll be international hockey.
Oh. Oops.
Look, for the All-Star game, for fun, we bring back Team North America from that World Cup. Yeah, sure. Okay. Put that team against the rest of the All-Stars. All right. Put Team North America as it is right now and put them on Team Fun against everybody else. You could sell me on that.
I could do that.
I could do that, right? So yeah. Team Fun, that North American team, which was absolutely a load of fun. Against everybody else, I think that's a fun game.
That's pretty good.
That's a fun game, right?
Sign me up.
Right? Like, I would do it.
Ooh.
I would do it. I mean, it would remind me of North America versus the world, you know, the East versus West. Like, if you guys were looking at, like, some of the stuff on, Instagram, the reels with Mr. Curfew and a bunch of other places. Mm-hmm. Like, they were dropping an old video of like Owen Nolan in 1997, the point shot. Like, he comes in, point, bang, past Dominic Hasek at the Shark Tank. By the way, mm-hmm. Those jerseys, GOATs, 94 through 97, best all star jersey ever. Ever. Mm. Ever.
Mm.
Just saying.
Yeah. It's almost time to get into the fun.
Let's do the fun.
If people are looking at ESPN, like, you know, if you're just like perusing around for stats, don't be alarmed. You're going to see like some of the players with strange little acronyms next to their name that are not normal.
Yeah.
It's just Hughes, McDavid. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Because people have already asked, they're like, well, why is Jeremy Swayman not playing for Boston anymore? It's like, no, it's just an ESPN thing.
It's an ESPN thing. It's the draft.
They're having fun with it.
Yeah, they're having fun with it. They had the rosters. The team draft tonight, the Hughes brothers, McKinnon, McCarr, M&Ms, the Leaf team. Then you had the dynamic duo. Like, you know, hey, those are not bad team names either.
No, not at all.
But look, it's an all-star game. Like, there's, you go back and you look at the rosters from like 96, 97, 94, like the prime years. Like, who cared? No one really cared. Six guys from one team went because they were the best six. They were like, yeah, I mean, who else you taking? Like, you looked at the Detroits, the Colorados, New Jersey had like five guys one year.
Oh, God. Dallas had a bunch of guys.
Like, it was great. Boston had a, like, when 96, the All-Star game, that was a great year. That skills competition was great. Like, the game in the Fleet Center, Ray Bourque, like, everything just around it. Like, everybody got so mad. They're like, yo, how come Boston has, well, because the game's in Boston. Why do you think?
So it's not hard to figure out.
No.
For those, you know, that are longing for the days of, you know, goaltending wizardry in all-star games, do not fret. Go on ESPN Plus, scroll through a couple of the all-star games, in particular the 99.
Yeah, the 99 skills competition. Yeah.
There's a few guys that are really good that you might want to watch.
I mean, I think one of those guys is hanging on my wall.
Maybe. I asked Jaromir Jagr about this once. This is memorable. Sitting there 11:30 at night at Prudential Center, the guy is skating laps with a weighted 25-pound band around him, mind you. Doing laps, answering questions as he comes around. I ask him about the 99 All-Star game. He stops, dead in his tracks. Say, we don't talk about that.
Yeah, because it was like, a goaltending. The goalies were on display in 99.
Yeah, people. Wow. I mean, look, I love offense. I love chaos. But every so often, you know, like to have some fun. And you like to see the goaltenders have a little creativity. Like the one year where they got to shoot on the net. Up.
Yeah.
Over some obstacles.
I mean, that was cool. Marty did good.
I mean, look, it was fun. Again, are these things that you can try year after year?
No.
No. But every so often doesn't hurt.
Look, I hear it best. Like, a lot of, why do people like the NBA All-Star game so much? It's not so much the game, it's the skills competition. That's what makes the weekend. Because it was the three-point contest. It was a dunk contest. It's things like that. Like, for me, you don't need like 6-7 events. Like, the basics are the best. Like, hardest shot, fastest skater, accurate shooting. Like, those are the three staples. You want to bring in, like, the puck control relay through the little cones. Like, that thing was fun. Like, that always was fun because you had to skate down, go back through it as quickly as possible. That was actually really fun. Like, there was a lot of skilled guys that could do that.
Yeah.
And then the elimination breakaway shootout was great. Like, that to me was perfect. That was enough.
Yep. And every few years, you bring back the rapid fire.
Just for fun. The rapid fire, that was fun.
Yeah, you know, again, there's the staples. Then there's the ones that you can kind of, like, get away with, you know, doing, like, two every 3 years or so.
Yeah.
And then there's the ones that, you know, every few years, yeah, we like to go back.
Yeah. Like, so again, for me, it's keeping it simple. Like, again, like, does anybody really watch them anymore? No. But you want to watch the skills competition. I think that's for me what's always made the weekend is the skills competition. Like, seeing Ray Bourque going 4-for-4 on the accuracy shooting competition. Like, that's what I want to see. Like, that's the stuff. Like, that's great.
Yep.
Yeah, but and, absolutely.
And you can bet on it now.
Yes, you can.
Did we win last year on a certain... Yeah, maybe. But again, this is what makes it fun. So we have the fun part of the show. Sort of the part where you can sit there and go, the absurdities of offense and defensive and team daring do over the first half and a little bit of the season.
Yep.
You know, we had, obviously we had the William Nylander, I'm going to score forever streak.
Yep.
Which has cooled off since, to be fair.
Oh, way cooled off.
Yeah. Hold on. It's a little chilly in here. Hold on. Yeah. Let me open this. Let me open this door.
We had the Oilers where we can't win a game at the beginning of the year, but now all of a sudden we're playing La Bamba every night and then we're up to 16 games. We have that. We have that streak going. We also have streaks everywhere. We also have the Flyers finally hitting the wall and going down. Wow. The Rangers have come back to earth a little bit. You know, Toronto's battling. Tampa's there. Boston and Florida are doing what they do, especially Boston. Then you have...
Sam Reinhart has more goals than David Pastrnak.
37 goals for Sam Reinhart. Like, the dude's going to pass 40, and we'll never hit it again. Maybe. I don't know.
Is this like the crazy Lindholm year where he broke 40 and probably doesn't get much past 25 ever again?
Maybe. But playing in Florida, playing with those players, I could see it. But again, it all depends on who's he playing with, who's the coach. But he likes Florida. They like him. I think it's a fit. He stays.
He's staying.
Out west, you got, well, did we really think Vancouver was going to be where they are? What about Winnipeg in the Central? I think everybody kind of figured Colorado, Dallas be where they were. But Vegas has come way down to earth after what they went through to start the year. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, the first half of the year has been great. I can only imagine what the second half of the season is going to be like.
Yeah, the good news for Vegas is that Aiden Hill is healthy.
Yeah, he's looked great, by the way.
So it's just a matter of them getting other guys back. Shea Theodore is coming back sometime in our lifetime. This has been like the long-term injury that just keeps dragging a little by a little by a little.
What, till he miraculously shows back up in the playoffs?
You know what? At first I said to somebody that was just completely crazy. And obviously every day that goes by, it gets less and less crazy.
I mean, look, we said on the show last year, Gabriel Landeskog was not coming back for the Colorado Avalanche.
But
he did not come back.
He did not come back. This year, however, he is finally skating. Albeit
what does that mean?
Slowly. Zero.
Yeah. It means zero.
Gentlemen.
Means nothing. Because he's not even practicing. He's skating slowly.
Yes, very, very slowly. I wish I was kidding.
Yeah, we're not kidding. And it's tough.
But by the way, the league point leaders are not McDavid.
Nope.
McDavid's not even first.
No,
second, or third.
It's McKinnon. It's Kucherov. It's Kucherov, yep. McKinnon. Pick the order you want for your Hart Trophy.
Pretty much.
Because that's how it's going to go. And look, it's crazy to think that those two guys, every other night, they're like, oh, well, if McKinnon scores four goals, well, I'm going to get 4 points. It's like, dude, really?
Yeah, it's crazy. Like,
these guys are ridiculous. Pasternak's right behind them, but he's a ways behind those two boys. Those boys are right there. McDavid's somehow back in top five after the slow start he had. You know, Panarin's right there. Patterson, I mean, like we said, it's a fun beginning of the season. The halfway mark, the All-Star game, we're here. Let's see if this stuff continues in the second half. We're not too far from the trade deadline. By the way, March 8th special. We'll have our trade deadline show like we did last year. Cheap plug. We're going to see where these teams are, because right now everybody thinks everything's bottled up. We know kind of who the sellers are: Anaheim, Columbus, San Jose. Calgary's entered that mix now. But we'll see where these teams position themselves after we get out of the mandatory week off, after we get back from the All-Star break. And it's good to be back with you, sir, doing it, because twice is nice.
Nice. It is. Especially, you know, even our After Dark edition, which...
Pucks After Dark will make its return in the second half of the National Hockey League season. But guys, it's... Because after all, why not? And if you stayed up, little tennis reference, if you stayed up, you got a lot of tennis after dark too. Or early morning sunrises, whatever you prefer.
Mm. Yeah. Whatever you prefer. You prefer your tequila sunrise?
Then that's what you got. But it's good to be back. It's good to be back with everybody. Braden, thanks for commenting on everything. Everybody watched along. This has been the Full Press Hockey Weekly Show. I've been your host, Jim Berenger. Rocking and rolling. Chris Wassel alongside. Get it at Full Press NHL on Twitter, FullPressHockey.com, Full Press Hockey on Facebook, Full Press Coverage on Facebook, Full Press Coverage on YouTube, iTunes, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Take care, everybody. Talk to you again real soon.